Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order. The time's 7 minutes after 9 a.m. Thursday, March 31st, 2011. With me today is Co-Chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Thomas, Senator Egan, myself, Shedman. We've got one presentation on the agenda today, and that's with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to give the committee an overview from the department's Road to Resources program. The governor's 12 FY12 capital budget includes three projects under this program for a total of $10.5 million. There's Foothills West at $8 million, Ambler Mining District at $1.25 million, and the Western Access Road to Nome, $1.25 million. And speaking of that, here comes the senator from Nome, Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Your ears must have been burning. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and ask Mr. Pat Kemp to come forward. There's several folks from DOT here to do this presentation, and I'll let him orchestrate how he wants to flow the support staff into this presentation and conversation today.
Thank you, Senator Sedman. I believe what we should do today is have Laura Baker go through the capital budget requests for this year and discuss them with the Senate, and then we can have Al Clow next to me, our Roads to Resources manager, discuss the need for the funding, the upcoming projects, and what it would be used for. So I'll defer to Laura.
For the record, Laura Baker, Admin Service Director for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Mr. Chairman, as you stated, the department has three Roads to Resources projects in the FY12 capital budget. I will briefly go over those so that you guys can focus on the information that Mr. Clow and Mr. Kemp can provide. I believe that the committee also has a hard copy PowerPoint that the department does not plan on going through thoroughly, but they reference a few pages in that handout. And then additionally, there's a one-page sheet on prior year funding that we might want to touch on later. The committee was interested in that information.
And then for the information of the committee members, when we looked at the presentation, there was some concern that there wasn't enough analytics in it and a lot of pretty pictures, and it's kind of a similar situation we faced with previous presentations here. And we want to, as a committee, work less on the 30,000-foot grand view of things and get down to taking a look at what we're going to accomplish and how we're going to get it accomplished. So with that, go ahead and continue, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'll give you the 30,000-foot level and then turn it over. As you stated, we have $10.5 million in requests for Roads to Resources. The funding stream for these three requests this year is coming from ADA dividend funds. Again, that is a funding stream. In the out years, you'll see general funds identified, but I think that will be part of your discussion at this meeting as to where funding would come from in the out years. The first project we have is $8 million for Foothills West. This should be on page 12 of your backup. It's reference number 50844. The $8 million request here for Foothills West is continuation funding. This will allow us to work towards the construction of a road from the Dalton Highway to Umiat. And this will continue in our multi-phased approach at the design and the upfront process for that project. Again, I don't want to get into too much of the detail. We'll let the experts get into that.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. When we go through the projects, can DOT staff tell us how much the companies that will benefit, the corporations that will benefit from the Roads to Resources appropriations are putting into the project at each phase? I have a lot of constituents who call this corporate welfare. I'm willing to support a reasonable amount of access at public expense to resource development because it can be mutually beneficial to the state and to private corporations. But as we go through, can you tell us how much the corporations are putting in to accessing the resources that they want to develop?
Through the chair, Senator Ellis, with the permission of the chair, if we could just go through the next two projects as the 30,000-foot level, I think that Mr. Clow can provide you some return of interest on some of those projects and some additional information on contribution.
At some point, we may want to back up a little bit, and for those watching at home that don't have the opportunity to be as involved in this as we are, we need to talk a little bit about what the Roads to Resource, the whole program is, where it's been, where it's at, and where it's going. So I don't know exactly how you plan on laying out your, you know, your presentation, but you know, we need to cover that at some point.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if I can just touch on the next two, then I can go over some of the historical information, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Clow and Mr. Kemp. The next project on our list for Roads to Resources is the Ambler project. This is $1,250,000. The purpose of this one is to provide an all-season access for exploration and development of potential resources. The $1.2 million will help in the evaluation of the transportation modes in that area to provide additional roads to the resource areas. The third project is the Western Access Project, which is also $1,250,000. This will continue the development of the planning for transportation corridor connecting the existing road system with the Nome area road system. Again, that's just the 30,000-foot level. In terms of the historical funding levels, there is a handout called Roads to Resources, Historical Funding and Expenditures. And again, on this, I can just kind of give you the presentation, and the experts can provide you a little more insight onto what some of these projects, the funding has been spent towards, and what the outcome has been. On this handout, we can see that we've gone back to the 2003 session, which would be fiscal year 2004. We'd received a state appropriation of $5 million for industrial development roads. That funding has been spent. It's been spent on a number of road development projects, such as the Bradfield Corridor Economic Study, the Juneau Cascade Point Road, Colville River Road, Northwest Alaska Transportation Plan, North Slope Oil Field Roads, et cetera. There are a number of projects that make up the expenditures, and we focused on some of the higher level ones. In the 2004 session, FY05, again, the department received an industrial road program appropriation. This particular appropriation was for $17 million and was a combination of $9 million in federal authority for earmark funds and $8 million in state. The $9 million in earmark funds did not come in, so we had the $8 million to spend. That funding has been spent. A few projects of note would be the Bullen Point Road, Colville River Road, and work in the Northwest Alaska Transportation Plan area.
So if you just, so this $9 million that's in here doesn't exist?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It does not.
Okay. Continue.
The next appropriation for the 2005 legislative session, this would be FY06, for industrial roads, the language section in the bill allocated a number of projects, but under the industrial roads section identified $3 million allocation for the industrial roads and another $4 million for the North Slope Foothills West Road EIS. That section also allowed there to be some reallocation amongst, I think there were about 10 or a dozen projects on that section. But the department has spent $6 million. There's only a small amount of $71,000 left. The funding has been spent towards the Northwest Alaska Transportation Plan, gas pipeline highway use agreement, the Juneau-Kensington mine access issues, DeLong Mountain port expansion, Bostwick logging road construction, and others. And again, these are not a full comprehensive list. These are an example of where the funding has gone.
Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, on these, can you give us your best guess on the success of the access to developing these resources. It's one thing to spend the money and complete the projects, but what are we accomplishing in all of these projects since 2003 on actually development of resources? If we're saying these are roads to resources, there has to be some determination made by the department saying, yes, we are being successful and these are the successes. It sounds good to say we have roads to resources, but if we don't have a measure of accomplishments, it seems as though we may be spending the money just because we are saying that we are, as a state, developing roads to resources.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, or with the chair's concurrence, Mr. Kemp can probably provide more of that information. Do you want to go through these one by one now, or would you like me to finish going through this list and then let Mr. Kemp and Mr. Clough go through some of your detailed questions?
Well, I think what will flow through and then back up, I think the question's probably going to be more detailed. You can try to answer that as we go through the presentation, and you'll probably have to get back to us, because that's one of the overlying issues in front of the committee today is, you know, we've got a program here, and is it just scattered like a shotgun, or are we going to focus it on several projects and try to knock them out one at a time, because we were just getting too many projects around the state?
And Mr. Chairman, I believe as we go through this list, you'll see where in the more recent years there has been more of a focus on specific projects rather than the appropriation going to multiple projects. Again, a number of these projects started under a prior administration, so there has been a change in focus. So if I can, jumping down to the next to the last one on this front page, this would be the 2008 session, Resource Development Roads. The department received $3 million in state funds. There's $1.9 million of that left. $1 million of that was used for the Accutan Airport Access Road project. And Mr. Chairman, as we move down to the next item in 2010 session, so this is more recent money under the new direction where we have focused the request and the approval was for $4 million in state funding for Ambler Mining District access for the planning, design, and engineering. That will be one of those projects that Mr. Clough will give you a little more information on. Turning the sheet over. The next item, again from last year's session, FY11 funding, $8 million for Foothills West access, planning, design, and engineering. This would address the multimodal transportation access in that area. And then the third item, or the third piece of the 2010 session appropriations, is $1 million for Roads to Resources Western Access for Project Phase 1, and that's a planning study. The department has spent a couple hundred thousand of that, and there is about $700,000 left. And then at the bottom of the page, it's just a recap of the $10.5 million that the department is requesting in the FY12 budget that's focused in those three areas, Foothills West, Ambler Mining District, and the Western Access Project across the multimodal areas. With that, I'd like to have Mr. Kemp come back up to the table, and you can ask more detailed questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It sounds like you want to delve into the details of the projects right now. We can go that way, or we can explain what we require the funding for this year for the three projects in the budget.
It's not the concern today. Isn't so much the three projects in front of us.
Okay,
we've already touched on that through the capital process. Although later on in the meeting we may want to come back and touch on that, but this is a conversation more of what are we doing with these roads of resources and how is the process, the selection, the total cost of what we're doing, and what's the, as Senator Hoffman said, what's the integration with the industry, if any, on these projects?
Okay. First off, when I was appointed to the position, the first thing I looked into, or one of the first things I looked into, was the Roads to Resources program and how the money was allocated and what we were doing with the new projects. What I found with the previous history of allocation was it was pretty loose in the department. A region or an entity would come in and ask for a certain amount of funding for a project, and it only took the signature of a deputy commissioner, my position, to approve that funding. And I looked at the projects, and I believe most of the projects were worthwhile, but we didn't keep track of them very well. And we're going to put a stop to that now, and we're going to start looking at real projects and capital projects, and that's what we put forward in this PowerPoint. I'm not sure the page number. Oh, page 8. I already see it. Page 8, the Resources Road Decision Matrix. We're going to rely on a system like this to help guide us with future projects. And this will be similar to a ranking process that is done in Jeff Otteson's shop. I'm going to feel a lot better where it goes through a charrette process with weights and stuff like weighted factors and things like that. But, you know, we need to know the resource type, the estimated cost of the road, how many jobs will be created, indirect jobs, how much revenue to the state, like on mining, I didn't know it, but on mine ventures, we do get quite a chunk of money at 19% by the time the dust settles. So those are the type of things we're going to evaluate in the future and concentrate on real projects. The past projects, like I said, I believe they were all worthwhile. I was involved in a couple of them 5-10 years ago, I guess. And I'm not too familiar with others, but they do look like they were worthwhile and they provided something. But we are going to get our arms around this program and start delivering real projects that bring in real revenues to the state. We're attempting to fulfill the governor's goal of filling the pipeline and creating jobs.
So on your matrix here on page 8, you know, there's no projects on it, of course. We can see that, but are you going to go back through on these other projects that we've started and basically start at ground zero and retake a look at all these and sort through them? So,
Chairman, probably not. The three projects we have, we believe, are really true, worthwhile projects. Al can talk a little bit about them. Mr. Clark can talk a little bit about them in the future, but the UNIAC project is very desirable. There's a lot of oil there, a lot of gas, good gas. We think those would be in our top three ranking. I guess part of the reason why would be because they're already underway, too. We're that much further ahead.
Okay, and then at some point, I guess if we're going to take the Foothills West, the Ambler, and then the road here, Nome Western Access, at some point we got to talk about the total cost and how we're going to fund these things. And because I would assume that some of these are fairly substantial in dollars, you're going to take multiple year funding.
That's true, and that is another thing that Senator Ellis touched on. With the use of state funds, we are planning on constructing a very basic roadway structure. We are going to get the cheapest access we can into the resource with state dollars, and then we are going to use either a 3P process, a private-public partnership, or use revenues, declare the roadway an industrial use highway, and use revenues from the fees charged for the industrial use highway to bring the road up to standards. IUH, industrial use highways, is a very good mechanism for us to recover our costs and even make money in the long run. For instance, the Klondike Highway is an industrial use highway. Excuse me. And
When we look at this process, I guess it's, so you're telling the committee that we're not going to go back and plug in these other projects so much. As an example, we're going to take these three that are on the table, but at what point in this process does the legislature get engaged to basically agree that these are the particular large projects around the state to move forward, and then the potential impact on the budget through the appropriation cycle in 3 years? How do you see that coming into play?
Senator Stedman, it's our intent to take any project nominations out there and evaluate that project under these factors. Quite truthfully, we don't know what's out there. We build roads. We're not a resource development agency. We're working very closely with the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Commerce, and we will look at any potential road, and we will run it through a ranking system. We'll evaluate them and submit them in the capital budget for appropriation.
Let me put a finer point on it. One of the challenges we have here is, for instance, the road to Nome. Now, you may never get to Nome, but isn't that like a $1 billion project if we go that far? Or how does, I mean, some of these are substantial projects, are they not?
Some of the project costs are substantial. We're planning on using the Alaska Highway model when they constructed the Alaska Highway in 8 months during World War II. We're going to our plan is to get an initial roadway in and then reconstruct it, rebuild it, and bring it to standards over the next 50 to 60 years, like most roads in this nation were constructed. We're not looking at a full build-out road from the get-go. The cost you might see on Nome at $3 billion, that's a full cost. That's a finished superhighway to Nome from the Dalton Highway.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the let's take 2014 on page 11, you know, for your overview of you're requesting $10.5 million, but on 2014, you're going to request $90.6 million. And then you go back to the backup, the first project, $75 million for the Ambler District for the Dalton Highway. And I'm looking at that page and the page 8 that you detail what the length of the road and direct and indirect jobs and state revenues. But on page 12, one of the key factors, I think, is what are the operation and maintenance costs, and you have no clue or no idea on this page of what it's going to cost to operate and maintain that road. And then you go back to the only other project that you're requesting for 2014 is on page 16, which is the road to Nome. Again, you're requesting $15.6 million in 14. Total cost through 17 is 125 million, but there again, there's no operation and maintenance costs. It seems as though if we're going to embark upon projects of this magnitude, and you look at going back to page 11, over a third of $1 billion, the vast majority of these are for the two projects. We have no clue if we're going to buy into these, if they were built, how much they're going to cost, and more importantly, building an infrastructure in the state of Alaska, how much is it going to cost for us to maintain these roads to resources? So it's good to have your planning on page 8, but one of the biggest decisions in pursuing these are what are the ongoing expenses that we would as a state be committed to, and I would venture to say that they are going to be astronomical. And why aren't they included in your decision matrix on page 8? What is it going to cost the state of Alaska to operate and maintain them? And the backup on the documentation, you don't even give us an idea. So we're going to build them and not operate them and maintain them. They're just going to perform on their own.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, excellent idea on the factor above. This charrette is a work in progress. Annual maintenance costs would be an excellent factor to have to evaluate on the credibility of funding such a project. We'll make a note of that.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we've had discussions, and I'm a big supporter of Roads to Resources, but I have questions on all three, and we talked a little bit about the road to Nome, and when we were talking a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, time kind of flies by, you indicated that there were two roads to Nome potentially being considered, and I kind of sat back in my chair and, wow, we're having difficulty just getting one going. We're going to build two, and there'd be a northern route, which would be basically Route 1 or something similar to it, going by the Ambler District, and then one that was, and then granted it was well thought through, that goes on state land, which obviously shortens up any potential, but it also builds an expectation of people that you're going to do two things. Now, the Roads to Resources, as I look at it, should be exactly that. So I look at the mineralization finds, but also the idea of what is proven and what have people said they're going to do. Now, the other day, this is a little off the subject of what you have here. The other day, the guy from Nova Gold was on CNBC. Donlin Creek is a project that's been worked on for years. It's ready to go. I don't know if they need a road or not, but just that theory of how far along projects are is what is important to me. And that's the concern about what route you use. And I did talk to some mining folks that are more along the Route 1, the northern route, leaving off of the Dalton Highway, running through Bettles, that would service those projects in there, which I think Nova Gold is one of those. There's copper, there's gold, there's a variety of minerals. To me, it makes sense to direct those roads through the areas where we know people are doing active exploration and have good data on the finds that they have, so when we build a road, it does not sit or need to be maintained, as Senator Hoffman's concern is, without any revenue being derived from it being built there. And that gets me to the other question. As I look at the road to Umiat, which it's one of the longer routes, and it sounds like a good idea, but then unfortunately I see in the state's own document for the supplemental or for the fiscal year 12 governor's amended budget, it says recent discussion concerning a transportation corridor from the Dalton Highway to Umiat has highlighted our lack of detailed knowledge concerning these potentially significant accumulations. Goes on to talk about the number of wells and how few wells have been drilled recently. We were really big on the idea when Anadarko was in there a few years ago, and we thought, gee, this is great. It's dry gas. It's the kind of stuff that you don't have to condition. You can put in a pipe, send it to a town, particularly looking for Fairbanks, and burn it right out of the pipe, basically, is what it amounts to. I haven't heard or seen anything of Anadarko in the last 2 years, I don't believe. So I'm concerned that the $370,000 that's suggested for the Foothills oil and gas development infrastructure should be spent in advance of any of the $8 million that's suggested for an EIS for a road that may be changed, and further EIS money would be needed on another route. So I guess it's more of a statement than a question. For me, it's the working closely, as you indicate you are, with Natural Resources, Department of Natural Resources, to make sure that when we build a road, we build the right road to the right place to start deriving revenue from it to justify what we're doing.
You could help them with that kind of a lengthy question, but if you can, and I recognize that, Mr. Kemp, that we've got a change in administration, and the direction is changing. So, you're kind of caught in the middle here between what was going on in the past and then the directional switch. So, but maybe you could help us with some of that stuff and how you want to clarify it.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Senator Sebin, if I could, Al Clow, Resource Roads Manager for DOT. Senator Thomas, just to deal a little bit with some of your questions and comments, and I appreciate your observations. There are certainly things that we spend considerable time discussing internally. In regards to the Donlin Creek project, I'm well aware of the attributes of that project, and I've talked to the developer, and at this juncture, they would prefer not to have state involvement in constructing an access road. So we've kind of agreed that, yeah, we'll keep talking to you guys, and things may change, and at some point in time, it may be in our best interest to partner up on this. But right now, for instance, they have a plan coming up from the Kuskokwim to serve the project at a barge site, and would not prefer to be involved with the state. So, you know, there's one situation where it's certainly something on our radar screen, but the developer right now would chooses to go it alone. The you mentioned the obvious mineral resources in the northern part of the state, the Ambler District being one of them. If that district had hard access, it would have been mined out by now, or certainly be a very active mining area. It's been known since the 1950s. An Ambler Road is one of our current projects. It is in the capital budget, and we have been in discussions with Nova Gold. They are interested in participating in the construction of that. You know, we certainly haven't signed a contract with them or even tried to start to negotiate one, but we have had discussions, and those are ongoing. NOM is a sort of a fish all of its own because it's a major transportation corridor into Western Alaska. It went through a fairly significant planning effort, and the route that has come out of that actually bisects the major resource belts of the area, with Ambler being to the north and Donlin Creek and other gold deposits being considerably further south. So it's sort of a hybrid. There's definitely a resource potential along the way. It goes right through the Tintina Gold Belt, which hosts gold deposits like Fort Knox and Fairbanks, Live and Good, where Carl Heineman's project's going quite nicely. So there's some pretty interesting things that it would help open up. But again, it's not like Ambler, where there is a known significant mineral resource that Hardlink in there could pretty much be tied to direct increased exploration and development.
Senator Hoffman.
On your dialogue with Donlin Creek officials, did they give you any reason why they don't want to deal with the state of Alaska?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, I think their main reasoning right now, and I'm going to speak a little bit for Stan Fu, you'd have to talk to Stan to get his total take, but as they currently envision their project, they would prefer to not have the government as a partner.
Yes.
You know, it simplifies their permitting and a number of other things.
Does that give you concern? Do you know how much the proven reserves there are in Donlin Creek?
Senator Hoffman, not off the top of my head. I couldn't quote that number.
Do you think it's more than 10 billion?
10 billion tons in Donlin?
Value in dollars.
Just say yes.
Deferring to the chair, yes.
You think it's more than $30 billion?
I'm not going to speculate without consultants and notes.
Well,
I apologize.
I think that's the concern that I have. We need to know, if we're going to be developing roads to resources, we need to know the value of some of the proven reserves before we come up with a plan to go forward on roads to resources. And I think that those types of information, what are the proven reserves throughout the state of Alaska? Because there are proven reserves that are for known for Donlin Creek, for Pebble Mine, for all the other projects, but it seems as though we don't have an idea of what they are, and we're, as the chairman said, using the shotgun approach. We don't even have an idea from what we're proposing on how much it's going to take to operate or maintain them. You know, there needs to be a better thought process in how we're selecting our projects and where they're going, and how, what are we as a state committing ourselves to in operation and maintenance, Mr. Chairman.
I think, Mr. Clow, you've been on the job for how long?
Today is my 30th day.
Okay, been here a month. Some of us here have been struggling with it at the table for several years, and so hopefully as we go through the, you know, this presentation today and have these discussions, it'll help evolve that selection process and then make it a little clearer what, you know, is a focus in the interest of here at the finance table when we take a look at your ranking. I assume that through this on page 8, the matrix here, there may be a few columns added as far as operating costs and maintenance and so on and so forth. And then there'll be projects that you're going to rank high and other projects you rank lower, but we'll want to look at the whole picture, because not only do we have to fit in these roads to resources and make sure that there's resources, it's also the timing element. We've had some discussions here of the McKinsey port and the lack of hard commitments to use that port, and it does concern the many members that we line up the industry with our development, that, you know, we time these things for maximum benefit, that we don't end up with projects that don't maximize that.
Senator Stebbin, thank you, and likewise, Senator Hoffman, thank you for your comments. I mean, I think what we have found is we've got into this literally in the last 30 days, and Pat and I were in discussions on it informally prior to me coming over. Prior, the system was, the projects may be meritorious, but it was certainly not transparent on how they were derived at or anything else. And I think this matrix that was in the PowerPoint is certainly not presented to be the definitive decision tool at all. It was just presented as an example that we fully intend and feel strongly that there needs to be a detailed decision process as we bring projects through the administration and ultimately back to the legislature. And I would envision that the ultimate matrix would be considerably larger and much more complex than what's in the illustration. It's there purely as a way to demonstrate that we fully understand there needs to be much more rigorous analysis of these projects and things like O&M and what the potential resource is and what the benefits to a variety of groups and organizations are is certainly part of that.
Will also be of interest to the committee on the financial impacts coming forward as far as how we're going to, if we do select one or two or three of these projects or whatever, what is the impact over so many years to get it to completion from the financial perspective? Because we've got, several billion dollar projects on the table outside of this. If we do a in-state gas line or we do a Watonna Dam, both of those are $4 to $6 billion from the Treasury, most likely. And there's, you start adding all these other projects, and even though that's not part of your task, but it certainly is here to take a look at this whole mosaic and get a handle on it. So it does concern the committee that we don't gather back in 4 years like Goose Creek and then the realization hits of what's going on, that we've got an impact in that case from $20 million in our operating account to $70 million. So we're a little cautious, shall we say, on how we handle our vast savings and we use it to benefit the state in the long run. But if you can go ahead and continue.
One thing I'd like to add, Senator Stedman, is is that the process we go through, the environmental impact statement, we'll flesh out the details of why we're building a road. We just can't build a road to somewhere without good justification. And these were the major issues we brought up with our sister agency, DNR. Why are we going there? And, you know, there has to be like a pot of gold at the end of the road for us to justify it. Otherwise, we're not going to get a Corps permit, and we won't get NEPA approval. So these types of things will be flushed out. And I'll give you an example. Commissioner Lucan and I met with DNR one morning in Anchorage, and we're told some moderate news about the chances at UNIAT, and we're kind of scratching our heads, saying, "Boy, I don't know if that will pass muster for constructing a roadway." Not a half hour later, we met with the Renaissance people, and they gave us information that seismic information that they had not shared with DNR. And we asked, "Well, have you talked to DNR about this?" And the answer was no. And, well, we suggest you talk to DNR. And so they are sharing their seismic, their privileged information with DNR, and those two groups are working together to help us build the purpose and need to build the roadway. A lot of this stuff will be through an iterative process where it will be flushed out as we go. Right now, I believe the reserves at UMIAT are 580 million barrels of oil, and it was
7 trillion
cubic feet of gas, but I think it was a 32-year operation. Their maximum production was 50,000 barrels a day, so 32 years, 50,000 barrels a day based on the current numbers. So we're getting there, but that's what happens in this next process. This is the next step in the process. Another thing that was very interesting with UMIAT was we found out there's a FUD site there, former defense site. That 85,000 barrels of cleanup is necessary. Well, the Corps of Engineers is going to spend almost, I believe it's $800 million to clean up that site. With a road, they'll save $400 million. Well, it seems like maybe they could help participate in the roadway cost because they save so much money. So there's all these different factors going on. There's the IUH type of roadway that brings revenues into the state. It could probably pay for the M&O each year easily. And all these things just have to be flushed out as we go through the process.
Are we too early this year in the appropriation cycle for these projects? Last year we did Amber, which was basically pushed by committee here to try to get things going. But should we consider not making the appropriations in the FY12 until we get this ranking, some of this sorted out, or should we continue as the budget is presented in front of us?
Senator Stedman, I truly believe UMIAT will rise to the top no matter what with what we've done and what we've learned with the Corps of Engineers cleanup and some other things, and I think the news is only going to get better with that particular project. The funding requests we put in were timed. For instance, the road to Ambler, it's a couple years away before Nova Gold fully knows the value of their sites. They mentioned to us in a meeting they have to go underground at some point to confirm everything. Well, the $1.25 million we're asking for this year is only for a caribou study and subsistence. That's an important issue to the population out there. And that's all we're doing. We're not starting the NEPA process on the road to Ambler. The road to UMIAT, we are starting the NEPA process. In fact, we signed a contract 2 weeks ago to begin the EIS. We will not continue that contract if this funding is not issued this year. We'll cancel the contract July 1. And it's because of the seasonality of the work. We wanted to get going on it and deliver a project in a hurry. I don't know if Renaissance Drilling has talk to this body. It's very interesting information they have. Perhaps they could enlighten you more with their findings of the resource. One thing is, I didn't know it, but it's cold oil. It's in the permafrost, and it will be piped cold to TAMS and then heated up at TAMS. So there'll have to be a gas line alongside the pipeline to heat the oil as it goes into TAMS. It was very interesting what they have planned.
Okay. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another issue that when I'm looking at the road to Nome, in your projections, you on page 15, you don't delineate what private lands are out there. I'm basically concerned about how many private landowners that are native corporations that would we would have to go through. And in your projections here, how much is allocated for a right-of-way acquisition? Do you have any idea?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that's the kind of information that we flushed out during the process.
But you must have some idea if you have a projected cost today. You know, it may be just a ballpark, but it seems as though we'd have to have some idea of right-of-way acquisition. In any project, DOT should be the first to know that right-of-way is critical to the construction of any road, especially when it's this long of a road. Have you considered how much of your ballpark of the funds you're requesting would be dedicated to right-of-way acquisition?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay. And I would like to see, you know, what are the private landowner owners in your map? And the other question, I guess, is what type of a process do you think it's going to take in time frame to go through U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service lands? Because that could be, again, another major stumbling block. And any one of these, if we aren't able to address them, completely stops the whole project.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I believe the lead agency in all cases would be the Corps of Engineers using state general funds, so their process would have to be incorporated into the Corps of Engineers NEPA process, and I don't have an idea on that. I will have staff look at that information, though, and get back to the committee.
I think that'll be a general concern on all the roads. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another one that you mentioned, Renaissance, hadn't talked to the Department of Natural Resources. That's unfortunate. Not sure how their data has escaped the DNR, but be that as it may, but also the Great Bear Project, which I'm sure you've heard something of, they'll probably be coming to the state at some point in time, and I would suggest that maybe sooner than later, since theirs is a development that's right off the Hall Road on leased land at Prudhoe Bay, and that one seems like a relatively small project to undertake, and being in the area that it is, however helpful we could be to them to developing a mile or two of road to further evaluate their project would seem like, particularly with the amount of gas and oil they're anticipating, particularly oil, I would think that would be one that we would kind of try and flush out as soon as possible to see if there's a potential for the state to operate or work with them to develop some kind of plan of access.
Through the chair, yes, any project can be nominated. In our view of things, any project could be nominated. You'd be welcome to nominate that project in your own.
Okay, go ahead and continue.
Well, getting into the project specific for Umiat or Ambler, Mr. Clough can discuss the Ambler project a little bit to give you more information.
That'd be fine.
Okay. Senator Stedman and members of the committee, just to detail a little bit more about the situation in Ambler. Obviously, the capital request is for 1.25 for ongoing investigations in the project areas, and substantially to do the subsistence work, working with the communities and others. This project is in a planning stage right now. We do not have detailed cost yet. As Pat pointed out, the discussions that are ongoing in the department is to look at very rudimentary access and then upgrade as necessary through time through a number of means. We have had discussions with NovaGold, who's the current interested party in the region trying to develop the Arctic mineral deposit. NovaGold has indicated they would like to participate financially if we can put something together. It's no secret NovaGold is also in discussions with Nana Corporation on acquiring rights to the bornite mineral deposit up there. Essentially, the Ambler District is arguably the largest undeveloped massive sulfide district in Alaska and one of the largest undeveloped massive sulfide areas in the world. The types of mineral deposits up there are very similar to the Greens Creek ore body just west of us here. The current mineral resource, and I'm being very specific with that term, there are no mineral reserves. Reserve is a very specific term that indicates you have a extreme high level of confidence that mineral value actually exists in the ground, and the amount of drilling and such that has been done in the Ambler District is not closely spaced enough at this point in time to arrive at a mineral reserve. So these numbers do don't have that same level of confidence. But the exploration that's been done there to date suggests there are 120 million tons minimum of copper, lead, gold, silver, zinc mineralization located in about 8 distinct deposits in the district. By way of comparison, the Greens Creek ore body, which is being mined as we speak over Admiralty Island, was developed by Noranda in the 1970s and 80s with a known reserve of about 3.5 million tons. Greens Creek is certainly much larger than that, and the last I read about it, they still think they have about 10 years of reserves in front of them. Ambler is a large district. It is underexplored. The two main deposits there are Arctic and Bornite. Arctic is currently understood as about 20 million tons of mineralization in a mineral resource category, and Bornite is about 30 million tons. The other properties are of lesser amounts. NovaGold is the main company active up there right now. They're certainly not the only one. And we would anticipate, based on historical mining practices, should access be improved into there, that the exploration interest would certainly rise considerably. There's certainly legitimate discussion and very necessary discussion on what the state and the people of Alaska would get if access is facilitated into a region like the Ambler Mining District. And I think if you look at pages 14 and 15 on our handout that went with the PowerPoint that we're not running through, gives you some talking points. But I think the Greens Creek ore body is a very good example of what could be developed in the Ambler area. A mine of that nature would likely be similar in size to Greens Creek, producing a couple thousand tons per day underground. Greens Creek has about 300 direct employees, an annual payroll between $25 and $30 million. Greens Creek pays, by last count, it was over $600,000 a year in property tax to the city and borough of Juneau. mines in the Arctic right now, such as Red Dog, are paying a pilt payment to the Northwest Arctic Borough. And what was, I think the pilt that Red Dog paid, of course, a much larger operation, but Red Dog paid $6 million a year to the borough. Ada, who runs the Long Mountain Transportation Corridor and also the Skagway Ore Terminal, received in 2009 not quite $16 million in fees for operating those facilities for the mining companies. An operator would pay the state at 7% mining license tax. Mining license tax numbers are not or proprietary, they're not released on a individual basis, but in 2009 the state received $29 million in mining license taxes. If two large underground mines were to develop in the Ambler district, that number would would certainly go up. Corporate income tax for mining likewise is a confidential number. In 2009 the state got I think it was about $13 million. Again, you bring a couple more large mines alongside, that number would go up considerably. That gives you at least a place to start as we try to decide whether these projects are meritorious. It's a mining project. Ultimately, nobody's going to know what the resource or to be more accurate, what the reserve is until it's mined out. What Nova Gold needs to do now is to get underground access into Arctic so they can go in and do significant closely spaced drilling to take this mineralization and move it from a resource category into a much higher level of confidence category, which would be a bankable reserve. At that time, we would know what the true value is of that property based on mineral prices. So is it a gamble? Yeah, most certainly is. I'm not going to say that getting involved in a resource project isn't, but with what we know about the project and comparing it with similar type projects such as Greens Creek, which is the same type of ore deposit, the upside looks like it's well worth moving, continuing to investigate, continuing to see if we can put it together, narrowing down what the cost would actually be, and then ultimately coming back to this body and laying all the cards on the table, and if the project continues to look good, asking for the funding to keep moving the access forward.
Okay. I think on that project, with this year's request, we'd have $5,250,000.
That is correct, Senator.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, being the senator from the area and having flown over that area for a long period of time, there's a multitude of questions that I have, and I'm holding off until after the presentation, if that's your wish, before I present the questions that I have out there, as well as some of the input from the people that are going to be directly affected, not so much by the employment or by the development that goes on out there, but by the people that live right there in the neighborhood. So I'll defer to you as to when you want me to start.
I think you might as well just ask the question. I think we're talking about the Ambler Mining District, so we might as well hit the questions on the Ambler Mining District before they go on with their discussion.
But the questions that I have are far broader. I mean, mainly it has to do with the Umiak as well as the Nome Road, which been something that's been talked about for the last 100 years about building a road or a railroad out there. There have been several surveys that have gone out there. So, like I said, I'll defer to you as to when you want me to go ahead and start asking the questions.
No, you might as well fire away, Senator Olson.
Okay.
I figure you probably have a few questions.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Clough, and thank you, Pat, for coming out here this morning. Obviously, these three major projects that are going to number in the billions and billions of dollars is something that's going through my district and is on the minds of many of the people that voted me and some that even didn't vote for me come down here. So as we look at that, I guess it's kind of interesting, or I guess the question that I was posed by a couple of other senators, Hoffman and Thomas in particular, that if I'm hearing from you right, that there's no real buy-in by the people that are going to be producing these, or that are going to be out there developing these mines or oil fields, because they're not actually paying for part of the road construction. I mean, that's what I'm hearing you say, and I guess the concern that I have is that if we don't have any buy-in from them, how do we stay away from the lease issues that have happened up on the North Slope that I represent that have been out there for 30 years and the gas still hasn't been developed? As we look at issues from the past related to the Hickel Highway, if you've been in Alaska long enough, there's still remnants as I fly over that of this project that was millions of dollars spent on a number of years ago, prior before my tenure here, and there's concerns of that going out there. And as Pat, as you talked about, that this highway will not be really productive for another 30 or 40 years before we finally get it up to speed where we can start using it as a superhighway. And as you look at the context that we're doing right now, we've got billions and billions of dollars of cost to the state, but yet the governor wants to go ahead and cut, with this oil taxes coming through, wants to go ahead and cut the state's budget by $2 billion a year. And so I find it, how do you go ahead and make it so that these roads can be maintained and operated in the years to come after construction? Because as I look at a road that's only 17 miles long between the city of St. Mary's and the city of Mountain Village, and it's the road has deteriorated because of lack of maintenance by the state, and that still is a sore that people out there, they talk about that all the time. Why don't we get this road maintained? Why can't you do that? And what can I say? I mean, I'm not from the DOT, so I don't have but if the history of the state is the maintenance or lack of maintenance in that 17 piece of mile road, what are we going to do about what's going on up north? Obviously, these are just concerns that are put together by constituents that I have there. The pot of gold at the end of the road that you talked about, I think the Nome Road is probably the only one that's got any potential of anything like that happening, although there are a fair amount of natural resources that are going to be developed with the Ambler District Road. But the road I guess I'm looking at right now has to do with the Umiat Road. It's come to my attention that I don't know how much local input you have had from that, but there's some pretty strong resolutions that have come across my desk as recently as yesterday by the Anaktuvik Pass Traditional Council, which says halt all plans on the project that's going up to the coal fields. The North Slope Borough Fish and Game Management Committee from Borough on January 14th also says they are not just opposed to it, they are strongly opposed to it on the third page of their resolution that's here. And the Native Group out of Anaktuvik Pass again has written another resolution by the village there of Anaktuvik Pass that they are also definitely not in favor of it because of the interference with not just the Central Arctic Caribou Herd, but also the Tshakpa Caribou Herd. At least I haven't heard a lot of support from the local people out there for these resources that are there, that we'd like to go ahead and have the pipeline fuller so we can get those revenues. But I just see that some of the homework has not been done and that I have grave reservations about what's there. I was wondering if you could comment on that, especially as we look at, since we're in the Finance Committee, we're looking at the financial portion of it, with the governor asking us to go ahead and take a $2 billion cut from the oil taxes with a $2 billion less budget. How are we going to go ahead and maintain and operate these roads in the future?
Thank you, Senator Olson. Mr. Kemp?
Senator Olson, those are the kinds of issues that should be fleshed out when we do the scientific studies, the cultural studies, the social studies, all the environmental studies with an EIS. I'm sure you know how encompassing an environmental impact statement can be, and that's when I believe we will have a lot of the answers. I'm not aware of any of the petitions or letters you have there. That's the first time I've heard that. But that's what this next stage of the project does. That's what the $8 million is for, is to do the environmental permitting, input from the populace about their impacts, their social impacts, and the purpose and need. Why are we going there? Hopefully those things will be fleshed out and we'll have an answer at the end. That's what the process is all about. And you can't get to the end of that process without taking this next step.
With all due respect, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
With all due respect, Mr. Kemp, I guess I look at this, if you're not aware of the opposition by the local people that are within 35 miles of the reserves and resources that are there, I don't think the department is doing their homework to see what the local people are thinking. I mean, that seems to be the case, and I realize that your time on the job has been minimal, but somebody's either not conveying this sense of opposition, as well as writing down resolutions, not just from the community, but also from the borough that's up there. Am I correct in my thinking?
Senator Wilson, I don't have an answer for you. Again, this is part of the process we go through. We solicit input from all the organizations, the boroughs, the communities, state agencies, federal agencies, and that's what an EIS does. It compiles all that information and discusses the impacts, the environmental impacts, the social impacts, and we go from there. Then other decisions are made, but you can't get to that point until you do that process. So, in our view, not enough information has gone back and forth to have gathered that information. I don't know what they base their petitions on, but maybe there's information that we have that will put them at ease. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, if I continue, does these projects go through the project evaluation board at all? And what have been the results?
Through the chair, no. This is the Roads to Resources program does not have an evaluation board, but that is what we are working on with this charrette, where once we know the resources to get the project funded for the preliminary environmental studies and stuff, that's what we would go through a matrix and evaluate the project based on the information that we know at that time.
Mr. Chairman, right. I do have a number of questions I'd like to pose to the department, but because of their complexity and the length of time, I'd like to go ahead and give a copy of the questions to the committee as well as to the respective gentlemen that are here, and have them get back to us on those, that way instead of taking up more time. But at least in my evaluation, at least what I'm hearing that's going on out there, the money that's being spent that they're requesting is not just for the study, it's also for the design and the implementation of pre-construction events that are going on out there. And with that, Mr. Chairman, until we get the idea that the homework gets done and they get the local input, because Mr. Kemp claims he's not seen these resolutions that have come from the community that's right there. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that we hold off on any funding on this until the homework is done.
I think just in back up a little bit, just in context of what we're talking about here, the state received about $29.7 million in the FY10 mining tax. So that's about 25% of DOT's capital budget in 12, and about 9% of the department's general fund operating account. And there's been some concern within the legislature at some point we look at the potential mining tax adjustment. I know some people don't like to hear that, but that certainly has been around the building the last few years as we develop our mines. And one of the ways to avoid that is, or minimize some of that impact, is to have some kind of, you know, working relationship between the industry and the state to develop some of this infrastructure if it's going to get developed. But on Senator Olson's point, I think, well, let me back up. Next December or January, is that going to give you ample time to come forward, the department, with a flushed out process and ranking and analysis on the road to resources and a selection recommendations to the committee, or are you going to need time beyond the next 9 months?
Senator Stedman, we would have a list of future potential projects by next legislative session to evaluate, and the ones we feel worthy of funding, we would ask for in the capital budget, I'm sure.
Okay. And to the current point of Senator Olson's request for not moving forward with the capital expenditures, we'll have to have some discussion on that and decide as a committee what we want to do. But clearly there's some caution is obviously here at the committee of what we're doing and why, I guess, and the impacts. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, just to put it in context, I spoke mainly about the road to Umiak because it's having heard from those people more recently, but there is more support by the people that are affected by the road to Nome and the Ambler District. So I'm not saying that, but it needs to be, the hearings need to be held in those communities to see what the general sentiment is. And I think that there are other benefits to these roads. For example, the ability to go ahead and get fuel, petroleum products out there at a reasonable rate, as well as groceries, wintertime and summertime. So I'm not saying that everybody's opposed to all the roads. I'm just saying that the road to Umiak, it is very concerning. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, through the chair, Senator Wilson, we have had public meetings on all of the projects, and in very general terms, I believe most have been positive for road construction. According to the regional people that have been working with these projects for the last number of years, there has seemed to be a change in the remote villages because of probably the economic downturn where they would like to see road access and an increased opportunity for jobs. But again, that borders on, you know, public meetings, you know, how they can be, and that borders almost on hearsay too. And it's just, I just can't stress enough how important it is just to go through the formal public process for a particular project and get the information in a way that we can use it, digest it, and turn out some good results.
One further question, then we'll go to Senator Thomas.
You say you've had public meetings on all these projects. Have you had a meeting actually in Anacortes Pass?
Through the chair, I believe so. Mr. Clow's been on the job 30 days. I think I've been on 60 days. And I'm not familiar with all the villages and stuff. But
you can get back to the committee, and so it's accurate on when and where the public meetings were held. That way, we don't inadvertently get out misinformation. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate maps like the one in your slide presentation of 15, where it shows actually the significant mineral occurrences and the roads. But sometimes I question whether we're trying to do too many things with one project. This is the Road to Nome slide, but it shows it going relatively close to the Ambler District, which I think is probably much of the reason for it going that route. But I don't know that necessarily I would advocate that trying to continue that road or basing whether you build that road or not on the ability to get through the Koyukuk National Wildlife Refuge or the Selok National Wildlife Refuge without a huge issue. There was a big issue in whatever that area was down there where there's 8 miles of road. Took forever to try and get a permit there, and there was no mining or anything associated with that. It was just transportation of people for a few miles. So I think I would be looking more at the idea that, you know, of developing that relationship and cooperation between DNR and the mining companies, the industry, to see just what you want to do with that route number one, so as not to confuse the issue with it necessarily being a road to Nome, and the same with Umiat, making sure that you evaluate things well. I'd like to see an overlay. I'd feel better, be more confident seeing something similar that shows the wells that have been drilled in the Umiat area, the potential, and also discussions with Anadarko, Renaissance, you know, that indicate what they're willing to do potentially and what route may be the best, rather than one that that you've planned at this point, yet still there's discussion about further evaluating the fines and the potential which you say you're doing now because Renaissance has come forward, but I find it odd that those people hadn't been discussed. Not necessarily your problem, I'm saying, because that seems like that's a Department of Natural Resources issue that they should have been talking with you more, saying we need to contact these people and get that together. So, and I think those overlays would show exactly what's been done so people have confidence that you're really ferreting out the best route with the most economic impact in the future for development.
We have other areas you want to cover today in your presentation?
Well,
we have another 25 minutes or 35 minutes, so we have time.
Well, based on Senator Thomas's comments, I'd like to make clear a couple of issues. On page 15, those routes are corridors. And after the public involvement process and some preliminary engineering, we do have a preferred alignment, and it is Route 2. Route 2B and then Route 2, so you can see it from Manly to Tanana, then to Koyatuck, and then on to Nome. The same thing with Umiat. Al can explain why the routing to the Umiat area isn't the shortest, but Al can explain why that's the case on page... let's see. What is that? Page 11 of your PowerPoint handout. The preferred alignment is. We'll go ahead, Al.
Yeah. Senator Stebbin, if it would please the committee, it might be instructional to spend a few minutes going through some of the more details on the UMIAT project.
That's fine.
Okay. As UMIAT is currently understood, and I greatly appreciate Senator Olson's comments about some of the challenges we have with local communities, and that's a discussion that we probably have daily with our people up in Fairbanks is, let's make sure we involve the locals and involve them early and often. We may not always agree, but we certainly value their opinion, and we have to absolutely positively have to work with them. So I appreciate you bringing those issues up. But Umiat, as it's currently understood by the department, is about 102 miles of road and with four major river crossings. If you look at the illustration, there's a straight line route from basically pump station 2 that goes right to the Umiat airstrip, and it's 70 miles or somewhere along that order of magnitude. The cost of developing that is not all that red hot because you're crossing the rivers further downstream. You have more wetland issues to deal with, wider crossings. And from a resource standpoint, the structural grain in there is east-west. And if you're just providing access east-west, you're only crossing, you're going right over the top of the structural grain, so you're only basically looking at one potential oil or gas horizon. The route that currently is being looked at starts down by Galbraith Lake and extends northwesterly to Umiat. It crosses the structural grain, giving you better exploration opportunities in the region. The river crossings are substantially further upstream, so you don't have the same wetland or breadth of river crossings to deal with. So even though it is a longer corridor, it is providing much more opportunities for exploration and also minimizing some of the issues that are of concern not only to locals but to the department. So that's the reason that has been proposed right now. As Pat points out, on this project, we're right at starting EIS, which will take our conceptual ideas and nail them down. The discussions with Renaissance have, to my understanding, have indicated that they are, you know, potentially willing to be a partner in this, but, you know, that, again, that's early days, and I'm going to, I guess I'll ask for some credit for not being around here all that long. But those are issues that we fully intend to keep pursuing and trying to come forward with ultimately the best project and one that that we can afford to do. The upside of Umiad and the adjacent, I think it's Gubik oil fields, is a 30-year plus oil district that would be producing, I think, Renaissance's numbers that they've been quoted on right now are 50,000 barrels a day, and it's 500 and some odd barrels of recoverable or technically recoverable oil. Again, a lot of windage in those numbers, but if you do the arithmetic, that's a 30-year oil field. The potential revenue to the state from that is considerable. I tried to run through some calculations to give you what I thought was a defensible number on that. And in all honesty, when you, and I'm sure you've gone through the same exercise, when you take the basic tax rate and you start trying to add in the various credits and deductions and on and on and on, with there's so many assumptions involved right now that any number I could give you, I'd just assume not. We all can go through that exercise ourselves, but there is certainly potential considerable revenue to the state through time in an oil field and gas field of this nature. As Pat said, we feel that the Umiad project rises to the top for these reasons under any type filter we put in there, and that's certainly why it's in the current capital budget. But without moving forward with the EIS that we currently have out on contract, we will, you know, we'll stop and we will not be able to answer the questions. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We'd certainly like to move forward on that and be in a position 12 months from now to be saying, hey, this is where it's at, and this is what it's going to cost to actually get in there. And having done our homework, being here with a lot more confidence in our figures. And one of our big challenges on these all right now is we're really turning new ground in the department and in resource projects in the state in trying to develop very rudimentary access as a way to jumpstart the economic activity or jumpstart the aid to the communities in the region that have such incredibly high costs for getting goods and services in and out. So that's some of the specifics of Umiad as we currently understand it.
Okay. So then I could assume that next year when you guys come before the committee next January and lay this proposal out, then you would have excluded, you know, a lot of these projects around the state, alternatives and so on and so forth, and then rank the viable ones and then going to come forward with a financing scenario and a construction scenario to move down the list of the ones that rank worthy of construction. Is that correct?
Senator Stedman, what we're working on internally right now, and it's a very iterative process on our part, but we're gathering information on potential natural resource projects around the state that could benefit by having state involvement in getting surface transportation in that area. Those projects will be run through in a ongoing filter and sieve to get the various attributes nailed down, and some prioritization will certainly be done internally and then ultimately run through the administration and then back to you for concurrence with them, but with considerably more detail than what we're talking about today.
We always concur with the administration. Sometimes we make slight adjustments.
That's your privilege.
Okay. Go ahead and continue.
Want to talk about Nome a little bit?
You guys out?
Probably concludes.
We have final questions, concerns for Mr. Kemp. Would like to thank DOT for coming forward today. As you could hear by the questions and the concerns we have, we've got a lot of pent up issues dealing with the roads to resources that we want to deal with here at the table, and we're definitely looking forward to working with the department and your leadership, Mr. Kemp, as far as how we package up and move forward with these roads to resources, because it is a desire here at the committee that we do move forward in some aspects of these, some of these projects that are presented. Some of them obviously will not be going forward, but we need to get a more focused approach, not only with our roads to resources, but with some of our other major projects that are on the table.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
I'd like to go back to the two-pager on the historical expenditures, and if you can give me the what the amounts, how the amounts are being spent that are encumbered in the 2006 appropriation of $1.1 million, the $3.9 million at the bottom of the page on the Amler District, and the $4.4 million on the 10 project in Foothills and Western Access, the $226,000. How are those expended, and what will they purchase? How are they encumbered, and what will they purchase?
Senator Hoffman, we will get that information to you.
Yeah, and maybe you could, you know, try to expedite that as we package this up, the capital budget and stuff. We might want to look at some of that stuff sooner than later. So if you could respond back to the committee on those items. So we have any other questions, initial questions, concerns, and then Senator Olson, you'll get with the department with a list of questions or information you'd like to have so they can prepare responses?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. All right, with that, that'll conclude today's agenda, but the next meeting is tomorrow, the 1st of April, 9 a.m. On the agenda is House Bill 16 to extend senior benefit payment program, and that is not an April Fool's joke, by the way. We're going to take a look at the senior benefits program extension and make a little modification here. With that, if there's any other final questions or concerns, seeing none, meeting adjourned.